Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Real Estate Pros, the podcast for real estate business owners, salespeople, and property managers, where you'll get marketing ideas, inspiring interviews, actionable tips and strategies to help grow your business. I'm Josh Cobb. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Aaron McMahon, the founder of Slim Digital, a digital media company focused on real estate, sport, defense, education, and health industries. Aaron and the team at Slim Digital believe that if you aren't disruptive, you simply aren't trying hard enough. And with his background in real estate, an MBA, Masters of Commercial Law, and a Bachelor of Economics, Aaron is on a mission to provide businesses with marketing strategies that align not only with their company culture, but their character as well. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, for those who aren't familiar with who you are, Aaron, tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of Slim Digital.
Sure. Look, I grew up in a real estate family. I grew up Phil McMahon Real Estate down in South Australia, in Adelaide, and worked for him for a number of years. After studying law and worked out that probably wasn't for me, and really enjoyed the real estate game. Then moved into defense, actually, and worked in the army for 8 years as an engineering officer, and then decided as I finished my MBA that it was time to get out and spread my wings, do something a little bit different. And it was one of those decisions that was based around, I guess, not really fitting in or having the work environment that I absolutely loved. I knew it just wasn't for me where I was, and so created a company that would allow me to do the things that I wanted to do, to be my own boss. And I'd done HR management and Chinese commercial law. It's the last couple of subjects in the MBA, and putting those together, wow, it was really clear that, you know, the future of Australia would be based around entrepreneurs and startups in the next 20 to 30 years, especially as the baby boomers all retired and left those senior management jobs because there's not enough Gen Xers to take them over. So, started my own company, over 12 months ago now.
I think it's quite fascinating, having known you for a little while, and we met for the first time down in Sydney at the Reinnovate conference this year. And something that I find quite unique, of all the people that are involved in the social media or digital marketing space, I don't think I know anyone, Aaron, that's come from a background in the military. Tell me a little bit about that. What attracted you to this world of digital marketing?
I'd probably had a bent towards marketing from my time working in real estate and sales and property management, just understanding how advertising worked. And when I got into the military, I joined more for a leadership perspective to serve my country, the discipline, all of those really, really important things that, to be honest, I would not have learned anywhere else. The army changed me in so many positive ways. Obviously, they were very difficult challenges, but I learned a lot of lessons. And when I came out of it, the marketing piece was something that I was just doing for my company at the start, and it was websites and apps that we were focused on. And I just started talking about social media just as an intro for people. Mm. To get them in the door and then to start talking to them about websites and mobile applications. But it soon became really clear that they needed more than just a one-hour presentation on it, but they were wanting people to help them actually do it for them. And like with a lot of startups, you kind of go where the need is and the demand is, and you start filling that gap, and that's what we started doing.
Well, I think the conversation around social media has kind of changed in recent times, Aaron, at least from the people that I've spoken to. I get the feeling that real estate professionals are no longer asking, should we do social media? Most of them are now asking, you know, how do we do it well? Tell me about some of the questions that you're getting from real estate agents in the work that you're doing.
Really interesting perspective, and maybe I've got a slightly different perspective from you. I've probably my greatest start was an introduction to Robert Bevan of Best Practice, and he then introduced me to a lot of his clients. And I spoke at his conference earlier this year at Sanctuary Cove on social media. And a lot of his agents, I would say, are baby boomer agents, and they're still, I believe, at the why and the how.
Okay.
They have social media set up. They're playing with it, but in terms of really seeing value in it, I think that's still a question they want to see answered.
What are some of the specific questions that you're getting asked, Aaron? Is it around, you know, how much should we be posting on social media? What channels should we be on? Is social media actually going to drive revenue for the business? Are these some of the questions that real estate professionals are asking?
Yeah, I think that the real estate for a long time has had that perspective of if it doesn't drive a lead, then it's not really worth doing, and drive a lead in the short term. And we do come up with agencies that are saying, are asking those questions. And of course, there's lead generation which can solve that problem for them. But the real value proposition that I'm especially trying to get across to agents is this is your opportunity to have a conversation with your clients and potential clients. It's your opportunity to say more than just sell your property through us or use us as property managers. It's an opportunity to say who you are as a company and have a character and a brand that most agencies never really had the opportunity to have except by face-to-face communication. So this is really offering up a huge opportunity for them, and we're trying to teach them that and then covering off on how they can do that themselves is probably the next part. But it's really just journey questions. They're on this journey, and they're right, and a lot of the agents we're dealing with are right at the start of the process of understanding social media.
Do you think, Aaron, this is a conversation that I have with a lot of people in agents and principals. I'm curious to know your thoughts on this. Do you think social media has the potential to establish awareness or start a relationship with a potential customer? And what I mean by that is, do you think, you know, channels like Facebook or LinkedIn, you have the ability to engage with your prospect at the very early stages? So rather than, you know, the traditional way of cold calling or compiling your list for an auction or that sort of thing and calling those people and prospecting that way, do you think social media has the potential to develop relationships in the very early stages and allow your prospective customers to get to learn more about you? What do you say to that?
Well, absolutely. The about page on your website, you know, can be done on Facebook. That's the place where you can see a history of what a company believes and what they're about and how they go about their business. And if this is the kind of company that a seller wants to be involved with, if they agree with their principles or the kind of posts that they're putting up, it is so much more powerful than a static about page on a website. It's vibrant, living, and changing every day, and you get to see real time what the company is all about. So, as a prospective buyer, I would be looking at agencies' Facebook sites to see what they're all about. I'd be checking their LinkedIn pages and potentially Twitter and seeing what they believe in. In terms of the word of mouth, I often say that social media is the digital version of word of mouth. It's people liking something and sharing it onto their own feed, their Facebook feed, and all of their friends get to see it. It's them recommending the company to all of their friends, which is so much more powerful and to such a greater group of people than potentially the people that they're just speaking to every day.
I love that. I love that idea of the living, breathing about page on your website. I think something that a lot of businesses might take away from this is maybe even finding out how to embed their Facebook newsfeed on their about page of their website would be potentially a good idea. Do you think, Aaron?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And then the creative part of me comes in and goes, oh, but it can be a little bit ugly. But definitely having a feed or if you want to be driving people always to your website, if that's your strategy, then having the feed on, say, an about page is super important to give that real-time update of who you are.
Tell me a little bit about some of the businesses that you've worked with or just some examples that you've seen, not only here in Australia but around the world, Aaron, of businesses, real estate specifically, that are doing social media well in your opinion?
The ones that are doing it well are the ones that are doing it creatively. Now, I've got to say, I don't think many of them are doing it well. My impression of the social media, real estate and social media, is that almost like print advertising, it's the market is now starting to get flooded. A lot of real estate agents are at least toying with it. And they're doing it like they would do print advertising, and they're just listing attributes of who they are, rather than conveying a feeling of who they are and letting someone discover who they are. Listing attributes doesn't sell anything. It's a feeling, it's an aspiration, even a property. You know, people, there's a lot of 3-bedroom homes, but why are they going to buy that one? It's because they're aspiring to live in that certain lifestyle. And agents have to get away from the old way of selling it and think of marketing in a far broader sense, I think. And there are a couple of agencies out there who are doing it well, and who are doing it on a lot of different channels. Mm. But it's again picking your target market, where they are, and what kind of message is going to resonate with them.
Well, let me ask you about that. You mentioned finding where your target market is, which is obviously one of the first steps in creating a successful social media strategy. But what are some of the biggest mistakes that you believe real estate professionals are making when it comes to marketing themselves or their agency on social?
Marketing and advertising, it hasn't changed. The principles and the theory of it have never changed. And the mistakes that were being made in print and radio and TV, they are still – and they're being made on social media. And agents are ranked 28 out of 30 for trust. I know RP Data's got some different figures out, but I still don't think it bodes well for real estate agents that the public generally don't trust them. So the biggest hurdle for a real estate agent is to overcome untrustworthiness. Mm. And you can't do that by saying we are trustworthy. You can't have a value statement that says we're trustworthy, because the minute you say it, people won't believe you. Mm. It's somehow creating a feeling of trust about the agency without saying it directly. And the mistake that people are making is that they say, we're the most trusted agents. You can trust us. We're reliable. We've got a proven track record. Things like that, just saying it means nothing. People want to discover that about you from who you are.
Well, something I use in my presentations a lot lately, Aaron, is a brand that I think everyone can relate to, and that brand is Qantas. And I liken the trends in marketing back when you talked about traditional advertising and how those mistakes that we were making in those channels are still carrying through to, social media and whatever comes after that. I'm sure we'll continue as well. But Qantas are quite an interesting brand in that 10 years ago, all of their marketing, all of their branding and advertising was very much around, we have the best customer service. We are the 5-star customer service brand. We're the safest airline. We have the most beautiful lounges anywhere in the world. And that all changed about 4 years ago. They've shifted their message, and everyone will know the ads. It's now you're the reason we fly, and all of their marketing and advertising is very much focused on the consumer. And they've taken away that chest beating mentality of saying how good they are, and it's shifted completely. What do you think real estate agents could take from that, in your opinion, when it comes to marketing, just online in general?
That's, again, listing your values or your attributes or why someone should list with you should not be the focus of your advertising, but rather working out who your target market is, what they're feeling about you, or what you want them to feel about the company, and having a message and a campaign that directs them to that point. If you are number one in the area, promoting success is great. And if you want to be the hero, that's great. But say Nike is all about being the hero, but they make every individual the hero. Mm. And that resonates with everybody. They can put the shoes on and go for a run and they feel like they're the hero when they're running or they're doing sport. And that's a feeling that will resonate with customers. Yes, it means that Nike are number one and they think that they're the hero as well, and people make that association, but they're not directly saying we're the best. Mm. They're saying you're the best, and because you're wearing the shoes, you're the best, and therefore we're the best. The inference is made.
I think that's great. I think that's a really great takeaway. I think it's deeply ingrained in salespeople, Aaron. I don't think it's just real estate. I think it's just deeply ingrained in modern day consumerism that people that are paid commissions to sell things are remunerated, you know, based on results. They have to get sales, and that's what they're focused on. And a lot of what you're talking about, building relationships long term and establishing trust, it takes time, right? It can't just happen overnight. What would you say to people saying, "Look, I need to get sales today"?
The same principles that apply with someone even door knocking. The chances of getting a listing there and then are so small. You might door knock someone's home and they might be looking to sell, and you might get in there for an appraisal. But most of the time, you're just building up a relationship with the people in that area that you're sending letters out to, that are seeing your ads and seeing your signs, and now you've met them face to face, and it's just this part of the journey. And social media is just part of that, and trying to box it into, well, we do a letterbox drop and we get a certain number of appraisals out of it is not the right kind of thinking, and it's certainly not the right message on social media as well. Social media is social for a reason, and it's you don't want to ambush it too often with marketing messages and sales, especially sales messages, and it will really turn people off. It is not someone's inbox. It is where people go to interact with each other. And so bombarding it with lead-driven material will actually dilute your brand and probably do it more harm than good in the long term.
Well, I mean, people wake up in the morning, the first thing most people do is check their Facebook feed or LinkedIn feed or something like that. But it's not really they're not thinking, I wonder what the local real estate agents posted this morning. I don't think anyone's thinking that. But if we look at the rise of something like when the telephone was implemented or fax machines was implemented in business, it's kind of the same conversation, right, that we're having now about social media. It is a communication channel. And I think back in the day when fax machines first came about, that, you know, people were like, how do we use this thing? How can we implement this in business? Do you think we'll get to a time, Aaron, where social media it's no longer really a strategy, it's just part of the communications mix?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and should be now. It should be seen in that realm. And the best companies and the best marketing agencies have already included it as just part of the marketing mix, as part of the communication strategy, and it fits in with their overall marketing strategy. And social media should be just fitting in with that marketing strategy. And every time there is a new platform, some analysis and some, you know, mental rigor needs to be put into analysing what it can do, pros, cons, the target market that's on there, and then just adapting your message just slightly to the target market that is on that channel and that platform and that technology. And that's all it is. It shouldn't, you know, whether it's TV coming in or colour TV or, you know, print advertising and letterbox drops and all this stuff that slowly has developed over hundreds of years, just because something new's come on the block doesn't mean that you throw out the marketing theory and your marketing message and just do something different on it.
Well, let me just pause you on that note and ask you about that, because some of our listeners are probably wondering, look, what are some of these examples of people, if they're wondering how to use social media? You mentioned some examples there of people who are using it in part of their communication mix. Without naming any names, is there some examples you can give us of how people are incorporating it into their business as a communication channel and some really specific examples?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the first things is that we often work with the 12 archetypes. 12 archetypes are archetypes that resonate with with people through all cultures, all stories, just about, and it's the joker, the lover, the hero, the explorer.
You're talking about kind of referring to personality profiles and that sort of thing, yeah?
Yeah, kind of. And marketers use them a lot, and we certainly use them for our clients. And so for one of our clients, it's the explorer. They're a seaside town, and they want to be seen because the people that own the properties in that area they're holiday homes. So they're thinking about going out and exploring and spending the weekend away, and so you want to tap into that feeling that those people are having. And another one, we also experiment with stuff, so we went with the sage on one, but it's turning out that they're more the hero, and so we're promoting their success. We're trying to imply that these guys are number one. We're giving everyone the feeling that these are the most reliable agents in the area. And another one is the outlaw. They've got a fairly outspoken manager, and so that manager is getting quoted in the paper all the time whenever there's a real estate article. And so leveraging off that and making sure that that is in line with the message that he's already putting out is super important. Another company have just done their branding, and so we're linking in the branding and the logo and the message behind that straight into their social media. And a lot of this work's already been done for most of these companies with their branding and their logo, and it's grabbing that message and just making sure the same message is being put across social media.
Well, some people might be thinking, Aaron, look, what does that look like in terms of content? So if we were to pick the one business, the outlaw, the one you mentioned last there, what does that look like in a content perspective? So what are we posting on, if we just, whatever social media channel you want to pick, what kind of content are they creating and how regularly?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the Facebook is in the area that we're talking about for this company is the number one. Focusing on almost any other digital communication channel is probably not worth it. So it's a Facebook-centric one, and because you're stuck on one channel, it means that you're really focusing all clients onto that one channel. You can't really segment it and say we're going to have a different message on Instagram or anything like that. So we're focused on Facebook, and the content is often challenging preconceptions that the market is dead or the market is down or all this negative rhetoric that's in the media. We're trying to say something that's the opposite. We're trying to be super positive. So the outlaw is the idea that they're setting themselves apart, that they are being very different to what the rest of the media is saying about the area. And they're finding facts and figures to prove it, and they're proving why that they're a good agent in a tough climate. And perhaps the climate's not as tough as what the media is making it out to be. And that's the outlaw part of it.
Yeah, and are they posting photos, blog articles, all of the above? What sort of content are they actually posting? And are they posting stuff that they've written themselves and you know, posting on their website and, you know, putting links onto Facebook, that sort of thing? What does that look like?
Yeah, so if it's a article in the newspaper, they'll just comment, they'll feed the link, share the link back to their Facebook page and then comment on it. And so you can see their comment in response to it. It's they do really basic videoing interviews and post them up as well. They are using a GoPro to do it, and that's proven to be effective interviewing their different agents. And fortunately, the manager, the outlaw, is a blog writer. So he's often the one that's commenting already before the news has picked it up or saying something, and then they'll pick up his blog and comment on it. So it's really it's a PR machine as well.
I just want to pick you up on a little, I guess, something that came out of that is that you don't necessarily have to create your own content all the time, do you? And it's something that I think a lot of businesses get into their mind and why they don't start blogging or anything like that is, look, it's just too hard, you know. But what this company has done, essentially, that you've mentioned, the Outlaw brand, is that they're putting their beliefs on top of content that's already created, which is a great way to show your community that you're, you know, human at the end of the day. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the time you've got to be able to leverage off content that's already out there. Creating, so we would recommend 3 to 5 posts a week on Facebook. Posting more than that becomes a bit spammy unless you've got a lot of really, really good stuff to say all the time. But it seems that 3 to 5 times a week is manageable on Facebook for companies. So having one blog a fortnight, say, having one video interview a fortnight, and then having one or a couple of articles a week that you're commenting on, all of a sudden it becomes this manageable beast and it's not so scary.
Well, take us to today, Aaron. What are you guys working on at Slim Digital that's getting you guys excited?
Well, today we're really busy with speaking gigs, actually. We're hitting October Business Month up here in the NT at the moment. It's a month where the local government sets aside to promote businesses. And we're holding 4 events in October Business Month. 3 of them are on social media. So it's a really big month for us in terms of that. And we're trying to stay ahead of the game, so to speak. Everyone's getting into social media now. It's becoming a really, really big market for real estate agents. But marketing is not about doing things the same, but doing things differently. And so how do we differentiate our clients from the other agents out there? That's the thing that we're thinking of and working on at the moment to help our clients stand out.
Fantastic. Well, Aaron, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast 5 where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a story by Fortune.com where they tracked data across 20,000 Facebook pages belonging to public figures and companies. What they found was that Facebook users now upload more videos directly into their social media feed over those that simply post a link from YouTube. We all know the saying that a picture says 1,000 words, but a video is 1,000 pictures. The popularity of online video is only on the rise, and done well, it has the ability to humanize your personal brand more than any photo or blog post will ever do. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Aaron, we've reached one of my favorite parts of the show where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
My father, Phil McMahon, he owned Phil McMahon Real Estate, owns it, and he's been my business mentor since I was born. I didn't even know it, probably up until the last couple of years.
What is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Look, track and field. I'm a sprinter. I love doing it. I've been doing it since I was 1988, I was 8 years old. I'm on the board of Athletics NT and, yeah, just love being involved in the sport.
What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Look, I put this together a little while ago, a top 10, but I can't really differentiate. My top 3 recommendations would be Strategy by Porter, Leadership by Cotter, and Culture by Hofstede and Hofstede.
What is your favourite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Look, this is probably a little bit different from most, but Outlook. I really think that email is magnificent for what it can. It has a lot of flaws and it's been abused, but I think it is the greatest business tool around.
Aaron, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
In seeing real estate agents and knowing them and working with them for a very long time, that you should do the things that you do well often and the things that you do badly rarely. And if you are great at meeting people and getting in front of people, go and do that. And if you are not great at paperwork, don't do it at all and try and outsource that component to someone else.
I love that. Great suggestion. Well, Aaron, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
marketing is about being different. And obviously the application for real estate agents is don't be the same as your competitors, but somehow you've got to differentiate yourself and show someone why they should pick you over the next guy. And that, and it has to be a very clear difference. And you need to, real estate agents need to be very keenly aware of what that difference is and communicate that.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Aaron has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/podcasts. Well, Aaron, on behalf of our listeners, thank you for your time, knowledge, and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content you've shared. How can everyone get in touch with you or find out more about Slim Digital?
You can go to our website, www.slimdigital.com.au.
Fantastic, Aaron. Thanks again.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Real Estate Pros. If you like this episode, please subscribe and you'll be notified of new episodes. I'm Josh Cobb. Now go out and grow your business.